Second part of his question, Monty, for Ken, is, do you know any solutions for eye damage from looking at an eclipse? And stupid, I know, but I knew about the risk, but I wasn't aware of the risk of looking at a partial eclipse. Since then, my left eye has had a floater-like area that appears intermittently throughout the day. Yeah, it's a
I've helped people heal eye damage and vision problems, and it's with something that's caused by a trauma like that. It's going to be, first of all, 100% living foods diet, high in chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is your friend. So I would be juicing massive amounts of wheatgrass juice and drinking it, and along with green drinks, green juices, you know, lots of sprouts and greens, number one.
Sprouts and greens, yeah.
Yeah. And then also using wheatgrass juice. Ideally, grow your own wheatgrass, because the stuff you buy in stores may or may not be that great. And it's cheap and easy to grow it. And if you do grow it in trays of soil, get some MyGrow Minerals from MyGrowMinerals.com, and you can foliar feed your sprouts with that, and it will radically increase the nutrient levels, and it'll be really sweet and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's much easier to grow in air conditioning. But putting the wheatgrass juice I would start out mixing 25% wheatgrass juice in distilled water and put it in an eye cup and put it over the eye and hold it over your eye as long as you can, you know, maybe 5 minutes or so if you can hold it that long, and increase it eventually to where you can get 50% water and 50% wheatgrass juice, and do that at least once a day.
Wow.
Along with herbs like Eye Bright, there are, if you contact Dr. Morse's Herbal Health Club, I think his website is Dr. Morse's, Morses, healthclub.com. He's got herbal extracts specifically for the eyes, and some of them you can put in the eyes and some of them you ingest.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, when you take in dense nutrients, superfoods, and do those things with the eye and stay alkaline, particularly minerals too, also, you know, get a hair analysis from analytical research labs in Phoenix. Their website is ARLTMA.com, and find out what minerals you're deficient in, and then you can supplement with Angstrom brand minerals to bring those levels up, along with food and superfoods. Angstrom Minerals website is ANGSTROM-minerals.com, and if you do that, the cells will regenerate and they'll heal up.
They'll heal. I wonder if you could put I don't have wheatgrass, but I wonder if I could put some E3 Live in my eye. Probably, huh?
It's a good question. I have never tried that.
I think I'll do a little bit in there. Yeah.
I would suspect it probably wouldn't work as well as wheatgrass. Sure. Wheatgrass is just amazing.
Yeah, it's just like the bomb, yeah. Yeah, I remember I used to grow wheatgrass, Ken, and ladies and gentlemen, years ago, and we were doing the Don Jansen method where we were, you know, spraying it with the ocean water, you know, the diluted ocean water. And boy, you get some minerals, and the wheatgrass is so happy when you use that. Whew, man.
Yeah.
I think he was doing 14, if I remember, Ken, I think it was 1,400 TDS, total dissolved solids. So it came out to about a tablespoon of ocean water for one gallon of water, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I used to use Ocean Solutions, and
which is similar,
also used,
right?
Others.
Yeah.
Yeah, the MyGrow Minerals, I just get such phenomenal results, so I haven't needed anything else.
Oh, so you use the MyGrow Minerals in the water, spray your wheatgrass with that.
Right. Huh. Mm-hmm. So you can water it and you can spray it.
Do you grow wheatgrass ongoing?
Yeah, not all the time. I do it when I'm cleansing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't like the taste of it, so I don't sit around guzzling.
Man, it's the yuckiest stuff I've ever had, ever.
But yeah.
Boy, you can feel it, though. I remember there was a little hippie place. Actually, they used to sell it in a little place in the original Whole Foods, if you can believe it, years ago.
And yeah, actually,
you can get a shot of it.
And Austin.
Yeah, you can get a shot. Well, even today.
You can buy trays of it.
And the Whole Foods.
And theirs is pretty good.
Yeah. But boy, I tell you what, you take it, and it's the yuckiest stuff ever, but you can feel it in about 10 seconds, can't you? It's just like,
The stuff I grow is so sweet. I mean, it'll almost gag you. It's so sweet.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I just, I shoot it down. I take like 2 ounces in a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes more, and shoot it down real quick. and then I rinse my mouth out. I don't swallow water because it's best to do it on an empty stomach, full strength. A lot of people can't handle that. It'll make them puke or feel bad. But
I wonder if people sell it frozen, or you could actually
They do. Buy it. It's not the same, though.
Nah, it's probably not.
It doesn't have the same energy.
Yeah, of course, thanks for your work. Big fan. I am remaining very alert for the re-release of the Stress Shield, so I can buy dozens to give to my friends and family. I don't personally have one yet either, so it would still be nice to have one on my person, whatever I want. I have a Rest Shield and other products, though. They're great. Oh, so this is a personal... Is that what he's talking about?
It's a portable...
The portable guy that you've been threatening to come out with for years. Right?
Yeah, I used to sell them years ago. I developed it a long time ago, and and then... I redesigned it, and I didn't want to, it takes a large amount of money to make a batch of them, and so I didn't want to invest the money in an old design, and so I developed this new design, and I'm like 90% done with it. I've just got to get it finalized into production, which I've been interrupted with a lot of different projects and things, but my schedule's normalized now, so I think within the next few months I should be able to get to it and get it on the market.
Ken Rolla, Patrick Timpone. We'll talk with Daniel Smith, who spent 4 years in the slammer for selling Miracle Mineral Supplement. God love him, he's out now. And we're also going to do a little thing on taking the red pill tomorrow. We'll have a red pill show, so some of the things that we'll talk about tomorrow as well. Hi, Patrick. Could you please ask Ken his opinion on deuterium depleted water? I've been doing fractional distillation of filtered city water to get rid of impurities around the water still, so it boils at about 85% of the water. I run the water still. I don't know what he means by that to you. In Ken's opinion, does this also reduce the deuterium in the water distillation?
Yeah, there are some people
concerned.
I don't have
that.
A lot. There are some people that are actually using it as a therapy, and but there are also some people that use radioactivity as a therapy, and I'm not a big fan of it. I haven't done a lot of testing with it, but deuterium.
I don't know much about it.
It's
sounds like a fad to me. I don't think. I just my intuition about this stuff, but maybe not. Yeah, maybe there's something there, Ken. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't had a lot of experience with it, but I don't like the concept of using deuterium, consuming deuterium. So I can't really say one way or the other if it's good or bad, but don't see any reason to do that.
Yeah, isn't there people that are actually promoting the idea of taking the deuterium out? Isn't that deuterium depleted? No?
Well, deuterium depleted water is what's known as light water, and
right. Maybe that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, it has lower concentration of deuterium, which is a good thing. So those kinds of waters, I don't have a lot of experience with per se. I've not specifically looked at using deuterium depleted water, but when you're vortexing water in vortexes the way I do, doing those kinds of things. It may create that, but I know it'll do things like neutralize radioactivity and make the minerals more bioavailable and alkalizing and that kind of stuff. But I have not spent any time studying the effects of deuterium-depleted water in the body.
Uh-huh. Here's an email. I work in an excavator, big tractor that has GPS on it in the cab just behind the seat. What can I do to limit the effects of GPS, 10-inch scalar disc? Well, GPS, I don't think GPS is an issue.
Well, if it's cellular GPS, then you're getting irradiated pretty heavily. If it's just radio based, it's a little bad, but it's about like having a regular radio in your vehicle. So I don't know what kind he's got, but typically most GPS this day use cellular signal, and that's quite strong, and you definitely don't want to be close to it. So the first thing is you move as far away as possible from you in the cab. I would do that. That's a really tough call because, number one, you can have EMF protection. Like you can have active scalar wave generators like my Rest Shield or Stress Shield in the cab with you. You can wear
shielded clothing. You can get shielded clothing from lessemf.com. That works quite well. You could also put some shielding between you and the device, although I don't know, typically it doesn't work really well because you really have to create a Faraday cage, which is an enclosure that encloses the device or you, to really protect from it. Otherwise, it just draws through. It comes around.
So maybe I'm misunderstanding. Now, GPS, that is a thing where you're watching, whatever, But now GPS can roll. Isn't that satellite? So those things are all, they're coming down everywhere anyway, right?
Well,
aren't they? And
that's interesting. Standard standalone GPSs, I don't know if they use a cellular signal or not.
I don't think so. These are all satellite. They're satellite.
If they're satellite, then they're not so bad. But still, it's not like having a strong radio in your cab. But a lot of times, truckers and people like that will have GPSs with a cellular signal built in as well. And so it really depends on the type of GPS. Like these little standalone GPSs that you buy, little hardware devices, those are radio waves transmitting to a tower or to a satellite. And by the way, that's how cell phones work. When you download maps to your phone, for example, when I was overseas and I didn't have a SIM card for the country I was in, I was able to GPS just fine by downloading Google Maps to my phone and then using the radio signal of the phone to talk to the satellites for positioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's much, much better. But it really depends on what GPS you've got in that cab. If it's got a cell signal off of it, then you need to do everything you can to protect yourself.
Right.
It's just a radio. Mm-hmm. My skater disc under the seat. We actually have a DC adapter for the rest shield, so you could have one of those in the cab. That would protect you quite well.
So you can also get shields. If it's just a satellite, which I think most of the GPS stuff is, but you're probably right, there must be some that do as a cellular. That would be different. But Ken, well, if we're just talking about satellites, I mean, those little beams are all everywhere anyway, right? Are you suggesting
that? Well, it depends on the type of energy.
No, I mean satellite is satellite, though, right? It's just satellite.
Well, but radio waves, there's radio waves and there's microwaves.
Right, no.
Cell signal is microwave.
Right, no, I'm just talking satellite. Satellite up in, like in the space thing where the GPS thing comes from.
Yeah, normally it's just radio waves.
Yeah, it's just radio waves. I mean, and they're everywhere anyway, right? And there's billions of satellites up there. Yeah.
Yeah, but it still does interfere with cellular communication. I mean, typically a radio is not going to really hurt you, but if you can avoid it, I would do so. But again, I would find out if GPS has a cellular signal to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the weather's popping off, but I think they're on it. Let's see here. Ken? Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, we've had some really weird weather, but now we're... Isn't that interesting? It just popped back? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Technology.
Just when the questions were getting interesting.
Just when they're really... Yeah, wow. Okay, so let's go over that one again. So this person has had some real experiences with stuff. Did you get to all that question? And we can just kind of...
I didn't. It cut off.
Yeah.
After you got started.
So this person has been affected, they believe, by chemtrails. They said they were abducted frequently while in Sedona. Sedona's a place to do it, boy. Let's see. I had a little boil thing that morphed into a crystalline lesion. Had black one-half cord, which grew out of them. So, man, so my digestion. So this VVVIVIE, he's really got it going on and wants to know if you can have some ideas. They're now living in Sarasota, which feels a lot safer to them. So just a lot of things with other than earthly things are affecting them.
So what's the question?
What to do, I guess. Maybe you could probably maybe lead them to someplace on your website where you have some, would you just start, Ken, with a big detox program for them?
Well, always, you always start with testing to find out what's going on in the body. So, I always recommend starting with some screening like the quantum biofeedback. I don't know in the Sarasota area if there's any good practitioners over there, but I do know if you drive about 3 hours over to this coast where I'm at, there's a good practitioner here.
And actually, she's doing house calls now, so maybe she would drive over that way, you know, for a, you know, cover her travel.
Why don't
fees,
I but, send this one to you?
Yeah.
And because this is a really complicated and
yeah,
and
there's maybe, a lot to do there.
Maybe you could lead them in the right direction, Ken Roller.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, it's, you know, getting testing, finding out what's going on in the body, what specifically is there, and then, you know, working on that from a physical standpoint. The other issues depends on who's, you know, interacting with you and why.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can discuss.
Find out who and why.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, sometimes we get emails and calls from people who believe that they're being a target individual, and they really are just,
sure,
they're not.
Yeah, sure.
But then there are some who are, and, you know, it's a fine line between somebody who's, let's say, schizophrenic or something and somebody who's really being,
sure,
targeted. I mean, so I take all these cases seriously, and because you don't have to have a reason to be targeted. You don't have to be, you know, doing some world-shattering thing that somebody's targeting you. They just, a lot of times, pick people at random to experiment on. And so, or sometimes they're related to somebody or they're in the wrong place. So there can be different reasons why. So if this person's a targeted individual, yeah, get in touch with us and we can offer some advice.
Mm-hmm. Here's an email. Does the advanced TRS zeolites remove nanoparticles? I saw an ad claiming we need two different sized zeolites in order to remove the larger and smaller particles. You talked a little about,
yeah,
about this earlier, but
yeah, that's a good question. It will remove nanoparticles, and you do need different detoxifiers to detoxify different types of toxins in the body because, as I mentioned, for example, with radioactive elements, zeolites will only pull out particles below uranium on the periodic chart. So clays, charcoal, food-grade charcoal, absorbers like that, apple pectin, that'll get the bigger particles out. And fortunately, those particles stay in the gut. And there's also, it's also important to understand that zeolites in their natural form, they're a crystal. And so at a microscopic level, they actually are like little scalar antennas that bring scalar energy into the body. And so it's a good idea to, on occasion, do a detox with both a good quality powdered zeolite and the nano zeolites, because the nano zeolites, they use vitamin C to separate the cages, as they're called, these little geodesic balls, microscopic geodesic balls that touch on the toxins. So when they're in that form, they're not going to have the frequency as the macro crystals. So I do both from time to time when I'm cleansing, and I'll, like, say I make a powder mixture of charcoal, ground chia seed, apple pectin. I use Vitality herbs and clay, sacred clay. You could use montmorillonite clay or bentonite clay. There's a product called Sonne7, S-O-N-E, and then 7. You can get that at about every health food store, and that's bentonite clay. So I make a whole mixture of those things, and then I take that when I'm detoxing. I throw it into my cocktails every day when I'm doing detox tonics.
Boy, the sound is coming and going. Sorry about the interruptions. We just got a lot of weather going on here. I'm out in the country and on a little, you know, or just the only way I can get the internet through the whole special system. And so it's just, it is what it is, but you're going to be able to get the this last part on the podcast later on. And sorry about the interruptions, but it's just, it must be the weather, but it's coming and going.
I can hear you.
Okay, let's try this one. Maggie wants to know, she lives in a historic beach town, and she's had a lot of frightening things happen. And is there anything that we can do to put in for protection? Oh, these are, I think these are more kind of on the ghosty kind of spiritual kind of thing she's talking about. Oh, and she's in New Jersey. looking for a little protection from other than earthly beings, I think.
Well, I've had a lot of experiences with that, with a lot of scary things. And what I came to learn is that when you get clear about who you are and about your own power, mm-hmm. you claim your power, so to speak, mm-hmm. and it's like, it's just like with people. It doesn't matter if they're physical or non-physical. You can allow people into your life that will mess with you and be abusive or be parasitic or whatever, or you don't.
Yes.
And it's the same thing with non-physicals. It doesn't matter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are more powerful than you, especially non-physical. They can't typically physically do anything.
Yes.
And so by staying out of fear and not allowing them into your reality, by simply letting them know, it's like, look, I know you're there, and I'm not afraid of you, and I'm just send love to them, and they don't like that. They don't like, they're usually, typically, non-physical entities are trying to jerk you around to keep you in fear so they can feed off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they can't succeed at that, if you just send them love and surround yourself with loving friends and situations, and then do the emotional work, do emotional clearing work to clear out your issues and your fears, then that stuff just goes away.
Yes, sir.
You know, when I was in my 20s, I had a lot of lessons in that, and mm-hmm. I had to get really clear about my boundaries.
That, right? You saw that.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. I think you're on. I know you're on to something with that. I think that's a right-on answer. Good job. These things cannot. Nothing can hurt you unless you let it in.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
It's all from the inside out, huh, Ken Rolla? You know, we pop that bubble or that protection from the inside out, not from the outside in.
So because of movies and the media and stuff like that, we've been fed this line that these entities can take over your house and burn your house. No, they can't.
Yeah.
You're in control. And when you understand that and you realize your own power, then it's like, I used to have entities every now and then come along sniffing around me, and it's like, and I knew they were there. I was like, look, don't even bother, because you're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to be able to feed off of me. And they
nothing
just
here,
move
man.
On.
Move along. Yeah.
Yeah. So now that just doesn't even happen anymore. But I had a lot of lessons in that.
Good for you. Yeah, Maggie, that's a good, great answer. Listen to some of our shows we do on the soul mind body connection thing that we can give you. We're going to do one tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. And Kenneth got a lot of great videos and his speaking engagements. He's going to talk about that. Ken, write the one in the East Coast you're going to be talking about. Oh, she's in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Find her. Tell her when the New Jersey thing is. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
It's the New Jersey talk is going to be more, you know, down-to-earth stuff. But I will be doing a talk in Boston.
Boston,
which
yeah.
is about 4 hours away from the New Jersey talk. Yeah, 3.5 hours. About the physics of how consciousness creates reality,
there
and that would
go.
Be much more esoteric.
Yeah, so that would be a good one, Maggie, for you to go visit. So, Ken, the Boston one, when is that?
That one is Monday next week.
Okay, and so you would go to freshandalive.com, click through our site or not, but just get there, and then go to the events thing and find the one in Boston, Maggie. So you're not far. Have a little road trip, get a friend, and go see Ken.
Yeah.
He'll talk
about
this
sometimes
stuff.
We talk about all kinds of crazy stuff.
I can't imagine you doing that. No. No, I just can't imagine you doing that.
I was in North Carolina one time in the mountains of North Carolina at this intentional community. It was wonderful, and I was doing a talk on like living food and healing. And just like out of the blue, this lady in the audience says, "Have you had ET contact?"
That's what they just asked you.
I was like, where did that come from?
So folks, I know we've had some interruptions the past half hour. We've had lots of weather going on here in Dripping Springs, but you can listen to the podcast and we'll edit the disruptions out, so it'll be nice and easy for you to understand. So if you missed some of the last half hour, we apologize. It's all I can do here. This is a God thing at this point. We're just on autopilot and it's just the best internet connection I can get here out in the country. When correctly making organite, how thick are the layers of the metal powders? So this is really kind of geeky on exactly how to do it and layers and all that.
Well, I can answer it quickly and simply.
Okay.
First of all, you don't need to make layers when you're making organite. People that do that are trying to imitate Wilhelm Reich's concept of, he created these boxes he called orgone accumulators. that were layers of metal and some organic material like beeswax or wool. And he did these layers, and then people would get inside these boxes and get healed of stuff. And that's really a kind of an old school way of doing things that you don't need to do with Orgonite. You can go to my blog at fractionaliveblog.com, and I've got bunches of videos there talking about the physics of Orgonite and how it works. But basically, you don't need to do layers. Just use fine metal particles, fine crystal powders, and then some macro crystals in your Orgonite, and you can mix it all up, and it'll work just fine. You don't need to worry about layering anything.
Okay, so all these questions about layers, you just don't need to do that, right?
Right. It works better if you don't, actually. Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Working through them. Thank you for all of your energy to help humanity. This is invariably a vast understatement of gratitude because of the positive ripples of goodness of your life's journey off the charts. Oh, my question is this. Sweet. What would be the most or top two or three actions we can take in our daily lives to disrupt AI from making further advances in mind control and still keep using technology's advances made thus far? State another way, what's its balance point here with technological advancements and human sovereignty freedom? Do we have to unplug from every technological device in order to be free of tyranny?
No, you don't.
No. Nope.
I use technology. I like using technology. Technology has a lot of very useful purposes, and it can make life a lot easier. However, it's how you use technology. For example, cell phones. I don't use cell phones the way most people do. I avoid their use. I minimize their use, but I use them when I need them, and I have my cell phones loaded up with apps and stuff, and when I'm traveling, I use it, but I don't put it up next to my head. I don't hold it. I put it on a counter or a surface and utilize it that way. I use an AirTube headset. I never am on the phone for more than 5 or 10 minutes max. I let people know, don't expect to get me on my cell phone, because they won't. And I use it very differently. So in general with technology, the approach is, for the technologies that are really bad for you, avoid their use. You know, like Wi-Fi, for example. I have Wi-Fi, but I never use it, except when I have visitors or if I need to do a software update on my phone. I turn it on for 10 minutes or whatever is needed, and then I turn it off. When people come to visit me, they have wired connections. I've got wired connections, and I have adapters ready for any kind of computer, so that whether they got a Mac or PC, whatever, they can plug into my network. So it's really just being smart with technology, avoiding the really bad exposure, and then using protective devices, like my skater devices, other people's stuff. If you're sensitive, then you're going to need more protection than other people. Eating, you know, a really healthy diet, a regenerative diet, eating a nutrient-dense diet, detoxification periodically, physical and emotional, doing emotional clearing work from time to time. Meditation, you know, you do all of these things and you'll be just fine. One of the reasons I got off Facebook was because there was so much social engineering going on there. It was obvious to me, and so much negativity. And it's like, why do I want to expose myself?
Yeah, what do you want
to
be on there? Yeah.
You know? So I don't, you know, I don't watch much like TV or even Netflix or anything like that. I have no interest in it. What I watch when I have time is YouTube, because there's the most amazing stuff on YouTube. Even if you just want entertainment, people are way more interesting than anything Hollywood can conjure up. So I just go watch crazy things that people do. Like I've mentioned this before. You know, there's a guy up in New Jersey who has a paramotor, and he straps this airplane propeller to his back, and he has a parachute, and he goes flying around on a parachute, you know, a parachute, and he films it, and it's entertaining as heck, because he's a character, and he does things like, you know, he'll go outside of his house, take off, fly 15 miles in his parasail, land at McDonald's, and go inside McDonald's and order food, and then go take off and eat his hamburgers while he's flying over the Jersey countryside.
I love this guy.
That's how you avoid the mind control, is by not opting into it.
Yeah.
not opting into the whole reality, yeah, you know, eating yeah. organic food, all of this stuff. Yes.
Yeah, and there's a big difference, you know, and I've learned over the years, you can read a headline, you know, or even read a story about this. And there's a way to read it from a totally objective, non-judgmental perspective, and has absolutely no effect on you whatsoever. It's just like, right. it's just like, oh, okay, well, there was a bomb, okay. You know what I'm saying? If you react to it very subtly, emotionally, physically, spiritually, it affects you. It's real. It's just a now experience, but you pay attention to your inner world when you're reading something. And if you're feeling anything or reacting to it, as most people do and don't know it, but just get conscious of that. And then it doesn't affect you. You can read at it whatever right. you want. You know, it's just yeah. like looking at the grass grow. You know, there's no difference.
Yeah.
Right?
And it sounds trite, but, no, but letting go of yeah. fear is also really a really, really huge part of it. When you really let go of fear and you navigate your life without it, or minimal fear, you know, some fear may be useful if you're in immediate danger of something, but it changes your whole reality mm-hmm. for the better.
For Ken Rolla, we have a lot of emails. Let's try to get through them. You have some time here?
Yeah, I got a little bit of time.
Okay, let me know. What does Ken think about pure pine gum spirits or turpentine for cleaning candida parasites out of the body? Is he in favor of reduce hypothetical?
Patrick, you're probably a better expert on that than me because you've had people on your show talking about that. I've never used turpentine for detoxing, so I can't really say.
I think it's very safe. Dr. Jennifer Daniels talks a lot about it. It was used years ago where the slaves actually used it to keep the parasites, to keep the kids clean. It's been used in France for hundreds of years. I think it's safe if you get a pure gum spirits, and supposedly we'll get rid of the... But I would recommend that you go to Dr. Jennifer Daniels' website and do the Candida Cleanser Report. It's free. Download that and read all about it before you start messing with it. There's a whole lot of things you want to do rather than just start dunking it down. So read the Candida Cleanser Report. And I've taken it and never had any ill effects. I know that I did some MMS, Ken Rolla and everybody, 7 years ago, I did a bunch of it when I first talked to Jim Humble, remember, the MMS guy? Man, and I had some white stuff come out of my body, did a colonic, there was so much candida, I had no idea it was in there. So, there's, you know, MMS will also croak candida, won't it, Ken?
Oh, it's my silver bullet for
candida.
Candida and pathogens of all kinds, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's my go-to thing. I never travel without it.
Mm-hmm. Turpentine may be a softer, gentler approach, believe it or not, and not so probably, yucky. Yeah. MMS, man, you talk about tasting terrible. I can't even stand the smell of it anymore. I can't even get near it.
You know? Well, the CDS, that's why
that's different, isn't it? Tell folks what that is, CDS.
Yeah, MMS, you mix a solution of sodium chlorite with citric acid solution.
Chlorine dioxide.
Yeah, and it reacts and creates chlorine dioxide, which is... It looks and smells like bleach. I mean, and it is a bleach.
It's a type of bleach. Right? Yeah.
It's actually been FDA approved for human consumption. It's been used in water treatment systems like municipal systems for decades.
Yeah.
And for over 40 years, the FDA has allowed it for use in restaurants for disinfecting, cutting boards, and food even. You can even put it in direct contact with food, which doesn't mean anything because, as we all know, the FDA is pretty much bogus on a lot of stuff. But Jim Humble discovered in an interesting way that ingesting a small amount of it diluted in water or water-based fluid will convert to large amounts of oxygen and a little bit of salt in the body. And so when I first heard about it, I was told about it by some friends who were fellow students at Hippocrates Health Institute with me. And they were like, oh, you got to try this stuff out. It's amazing. I was like, there's no way in hell that I'm going to consume bleach or tell anybody else to do that. But as often happens, a spirit trick happened and I got Lyme disease. And so I thought, well, I know Lyme disease can be tough to get rid of. Let me try this MMS stuff. And in 3 weeks it was gone. And I wasn't even doing it hard. You know, I wasn't like doing it diligently.
Mm-hmm. Like they and tell you to I, do, yeah. Well, you, yeah, yeah.
And then I had a friend who also, he'd had Lyme disease for years. He was a master herbalist and he used herbs and all kinds of stuff, couldn't get rid of it. Same thing, 3 weeks gone with MMS. So then I started testing it and seeing what was really going on in the body, and found that what Jim Humboldt said is true. It does convert to large amounts of oxygen and a little bit of salt. It takes about 2 hours to metabolize. So when you initially ingest it, your chlorine levels go up, and then your oxygen levels start climbing and the chlorine levels go down. Mm-hmm. And it works phenomenally well. It's, you know, when you're used as directed. But when you're mixing the two-part solution that Jim Hummel originally came up with, it has a really strong taste, and you get really sick of tasting it. The CDS, they mix the two components, react them to create the chlorine dioxide, and then they heat it up, and it turns to a gas, and then they bubble that gas through water, and it gets imparted into the water, so it has the same concentration as what you would normally mix up, but it doesn't have the nasty taste. I tell people to make lemonade or limeade with fresh lemon or lime and sweeten it with some stevia and make it, you know, good and sweet to taste, and then you put the CDS in that and you can barely taste it, and that's a very doable way of doing it.
There's a fellow who we've had on the show called Andreas Kalker,
Kalker. He's the one,
and he's got the YouTube videos, and he shows you how to make it if you want to learn how to make it on YouTube, doesn't he?
Exactly. Yeah, and I did that.
Did you?
From his video, I did it, and it works. It's just, you know, I live, the KVLab.com in Florida, they have a license to make and sell it because they make it for municipal water systems. And so they make it fresh. I buy it and freeze it. It's just so much easier than making it myself.
Sure.
So I buy it, freeze it.
Can the fresh and alive Azomite Ormus mineral powder be used as a topical mud mask, similar in manner as Dr. Marshall's MediClay?
Yeah, I don't know if it's as absorptive as some other clays like bentonite, but you certainly could, and you can mix it into other clays. If I was going to do a mud mask, which I have done, I mix all kinds of stuff into it. I use a bunch of different clays. I'll put wheatgrass juice in it. I'll put chlorella into it. I put all like papaya in it, which has enzymes, which will, you know, do a face peel. I put all kinds of crazy stuff in there and do mud masks. I wouldn't just limit it to one or two things. I put a slew of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. What would you recommend as easy shielding solutions for someone moving to or living in a 5G city? I don't know if there's anything easy, but there's definitely coming to a city near you.
Yeah, I guess the one sort of good thing about 5G is that because the reason that it's going to be so ubiquitous is because the signal strength is weaker than other cellular.
It doesn't go as far, right?
Yeah. So our Rest Shield device, the Home Shield device, those things will help immensely. Shielding, if you want to shield your bedroom with a Faraday cage, there are sites like lessemf.com that sell copper or metal fabric that you can put around your bed or around your room. It's important to understand, though, that, you know, even with all these SCADR devices and things that structure the EMF, they act kind of like noise-canceling headphones in that, you know, it may radically reduce the effects on the body, but that doesn't give you carte blanche to be exposed to it long-term. Just like, you know, noise-canceling headphones isn't the same as quiet. And so, personally, I would, you know, plan on staying away from 5G. I've been talking to a brilliant scientist who developed some devices for measuring 5G specifically, because he said the sample rate on most EMF meters is not fast enough to really get accurate levels on it. And he was saying that he did not think 5G was going to succeed. He said that there's enough backlash and publicity that he thinks that it won't fully launch. So to that end, I would say to people, don't just accept this stuff. You know, contact cell companies and tell them that you're opposed to it. Contact your local politicians, especially, you know, your local municipality, and inform them about this stuff. Show them things like the Bioinitiative report online and other studies. The Bioinitiative report covers like 2,000 different studies on EMF. And, you know, one of the arguments that the cell industry gives to propagate their technologies, they say, well, there's no scientific evidence, you know, showing that it's damaging. Well, that's not true. There aren't a lot of scientific studies specifically on 5G yet, but there's plenty of specific studies on wireless technologies and their effects on the body. And the Bioinitiative report is a compilation of those. So if you go armed with facts to, you know, politicians, to municipal leaders, to cell companies, I mean, cell companies aren't going to stop doing what they're doing, but put them on notice, because if you don't, then they're just going to railroad it through.
Yeah, and I think we had one caller this morning saying they were putting some Organite on their smart meter. I would recommend almost all states have an opt-out thing. I wouldn't play around with them.
Yeah,
you know, get them out of your house. I mean,
just Organite, even my devices, my power devices, are not sufficient
against
a smart meter. You know, it'll help immensely, but it's not sufficient, especially long term. So, yeah, get it out. I think my sister, who lives in Pennsylvania, told me that they passed a law recently that you cannot have your smart meter removed. They actually passed a law.
Really?
Yeah. That's the only state that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
But even that,
it's the first time I've heard that. I thought it was going the other way, where the more and more states can, where you're doing the opt-out.
They generally are. And I think what's going to happen is lawsuits are going to fly in
Pennsylvania. That's right. Yeah.
To stop it. Because here's the argument that I always tell people to give to their cell companies or their municipalities or whoever, is that when they say, well, there's no evidence, you know, linking it to specific diseases or whatever, say, well, there's no evidence that it doesn't. Show me the evidence that it's completely safe. And they can't. But more and more evidence is piling up.
Probably have to take somebody, take them to court. Let's see. This is kind of fun. I want to begin the next 60 years of architecture, but I want to do structures which benefit our environment rather than destroy us. I know this is a big question, but just in general, where can suggest I study biogeometry, plasma energy, or Bosnia pyramids? So he's looking for some leads and where to begin studying so he can build his next home, really do a cool place. Yeah.
All of those are good that you mentioned. Biogeometry specifically, I would study the work of Dr. Ibrahim Karim. He was an Egyptian archaeology professor who studied hieroglyphs and realized that the hieroglyphs are actually based on sacred geometry, and they're actually, the individual glyphs are actually little scalar wave antennas. So he developed these technologies for creating scalar devices using these little metal gizmos that look like hieroglyphs, for doing everything from protecting against EMF to increasing crop yields. And he's got some really brilliant work in the area of biogeometry, so I'd definitely study his work. And if you can, you know, I don't know if he does classes or anything, but I would connect with him as much as possible. Also, Valery Uvarov, Russian pyramid scientist.
Oh, the fellow we interviewed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For people that are searching online, his name is spelled Valeryuvarov. And I would definitely watch his YouTube videos and study his work, connect with him. I'm going to be bringing him to Florida next year. My intention is in April of 2019 to do a pyramid building workshop. And we're going to build, if we can get him here, we're going to build like a 15, 20-foot tall pyramid here on my property.
Yeah, and put his name in the search engine. How do you spell his last name again? And
It's Uvarov.
Uvarov. Put it in our search engine on One Radio Network. He had a great show with him. It's just really one. Well, lovely man. I'd love to meet him.
Yeah, I'm going to interview him because he told me a lot of things when I met him at Bosnia last two times. He told me a lot of things that he doesn't normally talk about publicly. So I want to interview him about some of the really esoteric stuff that he's familiar with. Yeah.
Ken Rolla, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. We appreciate your ongoing support of our website, of our work. We have over 2,500 podcasts that are available for you at no cost. Please check out my Facebook page, Patrick Timpone. We just put up some pictures that Sharon took a few days ago, and you can see how I'm doing as far as keeping young and snappy. So the things I'm doing emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and physically are working, as you'll see. I'm 72 revolutions around the sun and still going to get married and have babies. So, you know, you don't really have to get old if you don't want to. Anyway, so go on our Facebook and look at the latest pictures. These haven't been doctored up or anything. She just took them. So check out Living Streams. These products are really, really cool. Here's some information that we had the last time we were on with Wayne. This is fun. Here's a short clip with Wayne Blakely, the Living Streams guy. Listen to this.
Everything you eat converts to a fake, F-A-K-E, fake calcium molecule. That's what causes plaque.
Oh, so that's what causes the calcium to end up in your arteries.
That's why we have plaque all over our body. That's exactly why.
So if we don't have the proper probes in our small intestines, it produces a fake, which is a form of calcium that goes in the wrong spot.
And we can't absorb it. It's unabsorbable.
Right, but that's how it ends up in the arteries.
Exactly. Body pulls that up as an amino acid, but it's a calcium. It's fake. In other words, everything you eat converts to a fake calcium molecule. When I finished this research, I was dead serious about it. I'm dead serious about this. I could not understand why Americans were alive.
Oh, you mean after seeing the way this works?
How it works. Why a male at 25 years old has enough plaque in their body to have a heart attack.
Wow. And as you know, a lot of the calcium ends up in the brain as well. So these probes are very important, according to research, and Wayne's done a lot of it. Is this one of the major keys to calcification? It appears so. We'll see. Living Probiotics, many to choose from, in our store on OneRadioNetwork.com. Now, Wayne also believes that the Chibide, you can see that product in our store, and the Bifido together will help to the body to ditch glyphosates, which been around. We went up to visit Dr. Smith, and he found some of my little thyroid and some of Doodle's thyroid, some glyphosate. So, we're going to help him get out of there. And this will be one of the things we're going to do, along with the homeopathics that Dr. Smith rigged up for us. So these glyphosates are around. I don't get all freaked out about them. They're probably everywhere. I'm doing great. They're not affecting me. If you can find out you got these things in there with testing like Ken talks about, you might as well get them out. I think the body will get rid of them eventually anyway, but there's no reason not to use different things to help them along, and that's why we have this technology that's pretty cool, including the testing and then the Living Streams. If you'd like to learn more about Living Streams, you can talk to one of Wayne's associates. Her name is Marilyn, and here's her phone number. You got a pen? Good. Didn't give you a lot of time. 360-912-2981. 360-912-2981. She knows a lot about these products, and I do too. You can email me. I can give you some ideas, but there's a lot that they can't put on the website just because the FDNA get kind of feisty about what you can say and what you can't. And so they just kind of keep a low profile. But you can call Marilyn, but please make sure you do go on the website and then order. Don't order through her. It's difficult for them to give us our commissions, and that's how we earn our living, by promoting products that we love. It's as simple as that. That's how capitalist society works, folks. That's how it works. 360-912-2981. I think you'll enjoy these products. If you've not tried some of the aloe vera from Stockton Aloe One and Dr. Michael Haley, who's down there near Ken, this is one of the most fun products. I don't know. Somehow we stumbled on Dr. Haley some months ago. I think I've been through nearly, if you can believe it, nearly 20 half gallons of aloe vera. It comes in fresh frozen. I'm drinking it every day. I have been for months. I don't know. It's magical for me. My body really likes it. There's so many cool things going on with aloe. I don't know if there's a product that can compare to this Stockton Aloe One, because there's no preservatives, there's no chemicals, there is no pasteurization, there's no heating, there's nothing. They freeze it, boom. It comes in fresh frozen. You thaw it out in your freezer and put it on the counter, thaw it out about 16 ounces worth, put it in a glass, and put it in your fridge and drink it over 2-3 days, and then do it again. And it's the coolest way to get aloe, which is just magical for the body, all through the gut, everything. There's so many magical ingredients in aloe vera. Just Google it and have a party before you, and just you'll find out a lot of cool things. So it's aloe vera, Stockton Aloe One, on OneRadioNetwork.com. Just click and order.
Know the Source on One Radio Network.
Well, you're giving Ken Rolla a workout today. I don't know where all these emails come from. They're coming from different parts of the universe, I think, Ken. Can people outside of Earth, can they email in? I don't know. They probably can. We wouldn't know, right? We wouldn't know.
I usually get telepathic messages that
telepathic,
way.
Telepathic, yeah. Right. I'm interested in Ken's Home Shield and Rest Shield. I live in a condo with numerous smart meters all over the place. Wow, about 10 feet away. I thought about painting my exterior condo walls with EMF protection paint, but I'm not sure if it would cause worse issues since I'm also dealing with above and below. What products would Ken suggest in a condo? I have right on the water with a great view. Oh, I live right on the water with a great view, so it's hard to want to move, but yeah, I understand the view, but boy, I tell you what, in a condo with all this stuff going on, it's tough, huh, Ken Rolla?
Yeah, it depends on how close you are to the banks of smart meters, too, because if you're a long way away from them, it's different than if you're close to them. But
she says 10 feet away.
Oh, I would move. There's no way. There's nothing you can do to protect yourself sufficiently in a condo. I mean,
just
you'd
move,
have to line.
Yeah.
You'd have to line the floors and the ceilings and the walls with metal or screen or something. The paint's not going to do it sufficiently. And even my devices and everything, you throw it all together, it's still not going to protect you sufficiently.
And I don't think the paints are strong enough to protect. Are they, Ken Rolla?
No.
No.
Not that kind of power.
Mm. Well,
I mean, you're talking about in a condo, you're usually talking about a bank of smart meters, not just one smart meter. But even if it is just one, you could, if it's just one and it's not on your bedroom wall or somewhere where you're habitually there for long periods, you could shield it to a certain degree. You know, you could shield the wall and you can have my devices like the Rest Shields around.
Yeah, you could play around with it. But actually, the Rest Shield and the different things like that, Ken Rolla, they're not going to show up on a meter,
an EMF meter,
yeah, because these are working on the energetic level. So be aware of that.
Well, all right, it creates what's called quantum coherence. It makes all the waves coming off of the EMF in the area become parallel to each other. So when they pass through you, they're passing through much more quietly. But it doesn't completely eliminate it. And again, it's kind of like wearing noise-canceling headphones all the time. If you're in a condo where you're only being exposed to one smart meter, I would opt out, you know, get it removed. But typically that's not the case in condos. Usually you got a bank of them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it sounds tough. Okay. I guess that's
you can also, if you want to know what it's doing to you, depending on where you're at, if you can get a quantum biofeedback practitioner, if you go to our website on the services page at freshandalive.com, if you go to services.freshandalive.com, that'll take you straight to it. And there's a lady listed there named Gage Tarrant, and there's some links under her listing to lists of quantum biofeedback practitioners around the country.
Yeah.
Those devices can tell if the EMF is doing damage and to what degree.
Also, Elke, another investment you could do rather than move, which sounds like a big project for you, would be to talk to Emil up at lessemf.com.
Right.
We don't have any connection with him financially, but he's a cool guy, and maybe he'll sell you a really good meter, an RF meter to measure, and you actually get the numbers, you know, that are coming off of there, and you could talk to Dave Stetzer. We have on the show Stetzer Electric. Talk to Emil and see what you're dealing with. You know, that might be a good step too, Ken Rolla. You know, to actually see
Absolutely.
How strong of a field you got.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's quite enlightening.
Yeah,
I did an EMF audit at my offices. We expanded our manufacturing facility, and there's EMF in the weirdest places, and it's because there's a bank of smart meters a distance away from us. Fortunately, not too close. But then you've got cell towers and all kinds of things that can be sending signals that get reflected by certain objects. So you can have weird EMF showing up in like these really weird isolated places.
Sure. Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. So that'd be a good first step. I mean, moving from a condo that you probably own or buying, it's a big step. And I would try to figure out what you're dealing
short
with.
Short term, you know, assuming you do have strong EMF in your area, You can go to Less EMF and get metal fabrics and put them around your bed or your room. I've just got an email from a lady in California who's very EMF sensitive, and she lined her entire room with copper mesh. Whoa. She built this 2x4 framing or around the whole inside of the room, and the entire room is sealed up in copper mesh.
Like a little, little Faraday cage, huh?
Yeah, so at least when she's sleeping or in her bedroom, you know, she's not being exposed.
Julie writes in, I've just been scanned by a friend who uses the CEDS. What is your opinion of the SCIO and CEDS? Is one better than the other? I have been hit with all kinds of viruses, including Epstein-Barr.
I haven't used the CEDS.
Yeah, I never heard of that one. I don't know what that is. Do you? CEDS? No. But you know SCIO. You're a friend of that. You like that.
I've used the SCIO. I've used the Inigo. I've used the Adductor. I've used the Life System. And those are all created by the same people. The Life System was created by the wife of Bill Nelson, the guy who created the SCIO and the Inigo and the Adductor. So those, I know, those are all, they work quite well.
Mm-hmm. If we,
and they can do some
amazing. Yeah, excuse me. If we use nanozeolite to remove aluminum, writes Ime or Basil, from our body, will the nefarious technologies not be able to use mind control on us? Oh. So is aluminum in the brain? I guess he's alluding to the aluminum in the brain could be facilitating mind control stuff?
Well, there are people that claim that these things can act as antennas in the body, and that's a possibility. But the more definite thing that aluminum does, or any heavy metal in the brain, is it short circuits brain neural pathways and it suppresses consciousness and dulls you down, basically, even if you don't have it at high levels.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, yeah, you're lethargic, you don't think clearly, it's much easier to
fall into the black hole, right?
But there are a lot of other reasons to, you know, keep that stuff out of the brain and the body.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Busy morning. Good morning. On the phone, who's this?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. You're on the air with Ken. Go ahead.
Excuse me, my name is Gina.
Boy, I can barely understand you. Where are you?
My name is Gina. I need to talk to have an appointment with Dr.
Oh, I can't. Can you understand her?
It's really, your voice is very muffled. Do you have a different phone you can talk through?
Morning. My name is Gina. I'm really very sick. I want to have an appointment with Dr.
Sweetie, we can't understand you at all. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from California, not Northern California.
Do you own a cell phone?
Yes.
Yeah, can you call from a landline? Or?
Unfortunately, it's not.
Okay, so try to do your question real short and clear and see if we can understand it, because it's very hard to understand you.
I need an appointment to talk to you regarding my stress and anxiety with Adam Bergstrom.
I can't understand her.
I can't understand
We cannot that. Understand you.
But Adam Bergstrom. With Dr. Adam Bergstrom.
Oh, Adam Bergstrom.
Yes.
We know Adam. He's not a doctor, but what about him?
I just want to talk to him.
Oh, you just want to talk to him. Okay. Yeah, he's out your way. Can you email me?
Yes, please.
patrick@oneradionetwork.com, and I'll hook you up.
I emailed you about 2 weeks ago. I didn't hear from you.
Well, I never received it. I would have I answer all my emails.
Could you spell it?
Yes, Patrick, P-A-T-R-I-C-K, and you spell it out, our website, oneradionetwork.com. So just spell it out, oneradionetwork.com.
I always listen to your program on YouTube, so I got everything there. I emailed you because I have a very bad depression.
Email me and I'll hook you up with Adam and then see if we can help you out.
Thank you so
okay,
much.
Okay, thank you, sweetie.
You.
Bye.
You have a great
cell phones. Whoever invented cell phones, man, it's just weird karma. I don't know. What can I tell you? It's just, you know. Whew. Yeah, these things are weird, man. Can't even understand most of them. My name, I'm in Chico Twanja. I am actively detoxing with herbs, foot baths, parasite zapping, and exercise. Wow. What are Ken's recommendations for helping the regrowth of connected tissues in the joints? I also have bone loss in my mouth. Okay. All right. So we got reconnective tissue and bone loss in the mouth.
Okay. Well, all of that comes from deficiencies in acidity in the body. The bone loss in particular. So you've got to get testing to see, if you haven't already, to see what minerals you're deficient in. And then I use Angstrom brand minerals to bring those levels up. And then reconnective tissue, to regenerate tissue of any kind, you've got to stay on at least 80% raw vegan diet with lots of healthy oils. Raw plant oils, you know, first cold pressed organic raw plant oils, also raw butter you can use, or raw fermented dairy, unpasteurized. It's got to be unpasteurized. And that will keep you alkaline, and the oils will help regenerate connective tissue and also help with bone loss. It depends on where the bone loss is. The teeth are the most difficult to rebuild. But the bones in the body can be rebuilt with using all of that that I recommended and exercise, you know, particularly weight-bearing exercise. Years ago, my wife started to get osteopenia, which is the beginnings of osteoporosis, and she was able to turn it around by doing exactly that, what I just described, and doing rebounding every day and weight training exercises, load-bearing exercises, weightlifting. So you can turn it around. The teeth are the most difficult, and I really don't have a really good solution for that. But if I was going to work on it, I would use Sherry Edwards sound technology. If you go to the services page on my website, freshandalive.com, Sherry Edwards is listed there with a link to her website. But her sound technology can rebuild bone really well, and if you use the program for teeth along with ingesting the minerals and oils and live regenerative diet, that would, I think, would be one of your best chances. Also, ingesting the micro minerals, those also help with bone loss.
Cool. A little plug for Andreas seed oils to this listener.
Yeah.
Boy, they're just so wonderful. It's very incredibly, it's probably the best technology ever for oils. There's absolutely no friction. There's no heat. They don't have any oxidation. They've had them tested. Not all of them. They're in Myron glass, and he has everything from, oh gosh, Ken, I think he's got hemp. He's got black sesame, coriander, sunflower oil seeds. What else does he have? Pumpkin seeds, black cumin seeds. Boy, these are very powerful oils, and you can taste them, and boy, they're just like, you can tell they're the real deal.
Yeah, I bought his CBD oil, and it is the strongest oil I've used.
The strongest ever, and you know, he uses the entire plant in with this, and and isn't it cool, because you can take a lot of it and not get whacked. Oh, you bought some, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, it's so strong. I've been taking lots of hemp paste, so I took 2 droppers fulls, and it doesn't, you know, give me any cleanse reactions or anything, but it's so strong it was burning my throat.
Talking about Apex hemp in our store, Apex, APEHEX. I'll get the exact spelling here in a second. I'll click, and it's in our store, and this is a CBD oil. I think it's probably going to be one of the best ones on the planet, the way he does it, you know. And he says he uses the entire plant, which is really interesting, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely the strongest. I've tested a bunch of CBD oils.
Mm-hmm. Let me get the exact spelling of it. If you're in our store and you look at, it's Apex CBD Hemp Oil, APEX CBD Hemp Oil, Andreas Seed Oils. You can get some of that. And Doodle, I've been taking that too. And it's a pretty cool product. It's really like it. Oh, man, there's so much good stuff. Can Ken recommend a resource or guide on how to build a pyramid? Materials best sizes. Sounds like a good candidate for your Uvarov workshop maybe next year. Huh?
Yeah, that's I am going to be doing, we're going to film Valeri's class whenever we do it. Oh, and I'll also be coming out with videos on how to build Organite devices and stuff, including pyramids. But yeah, that's a long, that would take a long answer. But long story short, if you're going to build large pyramids, you know, bigger than little 6-inch Organite pyramids, you want to use a non-conductor like wood or plastic or something. And you can, you know, you can use minerals like quartz powder or shungite powder and mix them into paint, coat the surfaces of your pyramid with it. You can put crystal, like a large crystal at the top, at the point of the pyramid to enhance it. But
doesn't Valery Uvarov also sell pyramids? Doesn't he make them and sell them?
He doesn't sell pyramids. He sells what he calls the Wands of Horus, because in the course of studying pyramids, he studied all this ancient Egyptian writings and discovered the directions on how to make these wands that the Egyptians would hold to energize the body. And so he makes different Wands of Horus, which are very interesting. He also makes some copper layered, like silver and copper layers, shoe insoles, which are very interesting. And but he doesn't sell pyramids. Alexander Golod sells pyramids. He sells crystals, either pyramids or crystals that have been energized by his pyramid. But his pyramid, his large pyramid outside Moscow, blew over in a freak accident, quote, in 2017, or maybe it was this year. And so he doesn't have any way of energizing his pyramids, as far as I know.
Does Ken recommend, from Priscilla, any particular supplements to use when we're using zappers to minimize the die-off as well as pass it on? Pass it on, I guess, getting out of the body.
Well, I guess you mean to not have massive cleanse reactions from the die-off.
Yeah, that's what she's talking about.
And yeah, that's just a matter of kind of metering what you're doing, not doing too much too fast. Because it also depends on your level of health. Somebody who's very sick, maybe even has a life-threatening illness, they may have to do it fast and get some cleanse reactions. But generally speaking, you just do less of whatever it is. You know, I've already talked about my parasite
just
protocols.
Just depending on how much, how much discomfort you want to go through. Okay, I mean, just kind of gauge it. Yeah, how much you want
to. Yeah, it's like I'll do 6-week cleanses sometimes where, you know, I have to work, and so therefore I can't afford to be wiped out and exhausted. And so I'll just kind of do, you know, less amount of stuff. But then when I go do intensives, that's all I'm doing. From early in the morning to late at night, I'm just detoxing. I may have massive cleanse reactions, and I just deal with it. So it depends on your circumstances.
What's the name of the place out in Austin? I was thinking about it. There's a place in East Austin. It's kind of like a raw food, Hippocrates kind of place. I felt about going on visiting there. Maybe I could get some ideas how to get some more raw enzymatic things in my body that my body does well with. You know, I thought I'd get some ideas. What's the name of that place?
It's Optimum Health Institute.
Optimum, yeah.
Yeah, they have a location in Austin and they have one in San Diego, and they're phenomenal. That's really the one I recommend the most for people because they're the most reasonably priced.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, you see miracles happen all the time there. When you really get on a live food diet 24/7 for 3 weeks at a time, it'll rock your world in ways you can't imagine.
What is that? What do they do? Do they teach it out there, or do they have programs?
They teach it, and they also have the food. They grow their own food, and they sprout and everything, and they grow their own wheatgrass. So you're juicing wheatgrass and drinking it. You're doing enemas with wheatgrass. You're eating 100% living foods with, you know, lots of sprouted stuff. They have a big salad bar with everything where you
I'll have to check them out. Are they out by the airport? Is that where they are? Out by the Austin airport? No?
I don't know.
That's all right. I'll find them.
Other things, yeah.
Optimum Health Institute. Got three more, then we'll let you go. Mark says, how can one know how much iodine to take?
Well, you can get good old-fashioned lab tests like walkinlabs.com. You know, they have tests that you can take, blood tests or sometimes hair tests, that you can get your exact levels and then you know.
Oh, through the blood test. I didn't know that iodine can be measured like that.
I'm not sure if it's a blood test, but I know Walkin Labs has specific mineral tests. You know, and there are other labs that can do it. Typically, that's what I'll do. You know, when I'm getting a baseline, I'll I'll get a mineral analysis. I'll also get hair analysis.
Does hair analysis do iodine, Ken? I've not seen that on most.
It doesn't do iodine specifically, yeah. But it does other mineral levels. If you're specifically wanting to know iodine, I mean, generally, if you just want a rule of thumb, you know, if you put iodine on the surface of your skin and it's gone within an hour, then you probably need iodine. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually most people in 10 minutes, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And so, and even me, I mean, I've been doused in the stuff and I take it all the time and it'll still absorb in after a couple hours. It's really tough to overdo iodine in bioavailable forms. You know, so the Phil Thomas's detoxified iodine, was it theiodinesource.com?
Iodinesource. Well, we have a link on our website. We promote the product. Yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
That's good.
And then the Skater stuff that we have, it's difficult to overdo that, but generally you always start, everybody's different. I mean, like I say, I can take big doses, my wife can't. So start with very small doses and increase. But there are tests, like I say, walkinlabs.com, I'm pretty sure they have an iodine test.
For the life of me, I can't seem to grow basil inside or even in my greenhouse. I use your scalar hand grenade, Living Streams multi-blend, but still it's not working. I don't know what you could possibly be doing not being able to grow basil. It just grows everywhere. What do you think? The leaves get black on them and stalks start dying. It seems like that's too cold. I don't know.
Yeah, first of all, it depends on the environment, but generally basil does really well in warm climates.
Oh, yeah,
and
like hot.
So that's one thing. Yeah, it's not going to do well in really cold climates. But, I mean, here in Florida, we have it growing all around through the year, and it goes anywhere from, you know, freezing occasionally to, you know, 90, low 90s in the summertime. We grow it in a greenhouse, so it's shaded about 30% shade. But we grow crazy huge basil. And the way that I do it, first of all, get Fox Farm soil. If you're growing it in soil from your yard, it may be contaminated with something or molds or whatever. Fox Farm soil is really high quality soil. It's got ormus in it. Plant, you know, get good strong seedlings, put them in the ground, and then water it with micro minerals. And if you foliar feed it and water it with micro minerals, there are other, you know, you can put azomite down, you can put effective microorganisms down. If you do that, you're going to get strong anything that you're growing, as long as it's not too hot or too cold or too wet for that plant.
Yeah, sounds like it's just too cold if it's getting black, but I don't know. I'm not a horticulturist, so way above my pay grade. But
then again, you can grow in a greenhouse, because I met a lady who is growing food for an Indian tribe in Alaska. And in the dead of winter, when they only have, like, I think she said 20 minutes of sunlight or some crazy small amount, she's able to grow food with, you know, full spectrum lighting and stuff.
Andrew writes in, what's the best way to get rid of fleas in a young pup that's on grass-fed organic meat and some supplements? They picked up some fleas from some cats hanging out in an alley, stray cats. That'll happen when you hang out with stray girls, man. You'll pick up all kinds of things. Yeah, you know, I don't know, Ken, about you. I think, for me, all these years with dogs, I think garlic is one of the best things to do. You know, fleas are tough. You know, they're tough. They just, you know.
Well, I've had flea infestations in other places I've lived, and, you know, they get out in the yard, and then your dogs go out there and get them, pick them up. So the only solution, there were two things that I did. I put some kind of a garlic concentrate in our carpet. Mm-hmm. Which, and then also we shampooed the carpets. You have to, I actually had a rainbow vacuum with a shampooer attachment. So I would shampoo the carpets every day for 2 weeks, because the life cycle of fleas is like,
what is it? Like, yeah, 30 days or something like that. I don't know.
16 days, something. Yeah. It's a couple weeks. So a couple of weeks was sufficient, but it killed off the eggs in the carpet. Mm-hmm. And then I kept my dogs washed. And then I also, there's a garlic concentrate that you can buy for outdoors, which you can mix with water and spray on your lawn, and that will also knock them back. Because usually they come out at certain times of year, and they're really intense, and then they tend to die off. So probably in the middle of summertime is when you can use that. And that seemed to work pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they could be difficult. They got these little flea traps that you can get on Amazon, which are really good. They're just little lights. Fleas jump in there and just get stuck on some paper. Just go to Amazon and do flea traps, and they're really cool. And if you and you can see how many you have in your home just by seeing, you know, checking the paper. You'll see how many, because they'll jump on there at night because they just see the light. Oh, that's pretty cool. I think garlic helps, you know, some of the best things to do. And, I've not found a lot of stuff on the outside to spray on them that works very well.
I know an old farmer's trick that they used to use in North Carolina for farm dogs is they would actually put tobacco in the doghouse with the dog. These were outdoor dogs. I don't know how what works, but I do know that you can buy some natural flea repellents for dogs that have tobacco in them.
Yeah, tobacco is really amazing. Do they actually make flea repellents with tobacco in them? That'd be great to try.
Yeah. Powder.
David Wolfe used to talk about how he planted these big tobacco plants in his garden, and they just keep all kinds of bad guys away. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
He said they're beautiful, too, when they bloom. And I'll be darned. Yeah, I've never seen it. If you guys find any flea repellent things with tobacco in it, you know, email me, send me. I'd like to spray some on Doodle. We've done pretty good with the garlic. It seems like if you keep working internally, that's the best way. You know, if you can get them strong,
right,
where they don't like to bite them. You know,
so people, very true.
Yeah, right.
That's another important point. If you're feeding your dog, now he said he was feeding them raw meat and stuff, and that's good.
That's good.
If you're feeding them grain based diets,
not good.
That will really create havoc in their gut, and it will create candida and stuff, and then that will change their chemistry. It changes the probiotics in the gut, and that will tend to make them more targets for fleas and biting bugs.
Also, Andrew, you might look at our store, get some pet probiotics from Living Streams for doggies and cats, pet probiotics, put that in their water, and that may help to increase their immune system, because just like people, immune system and animals are in their gut too, right? So you get those probies going there, and it might get them stronger so the fleas won't want to bite them. You know, fleas are like parasites, and they just like to, you know, they're kind of like the government. Did I say that? They just kind of like to attack the weakest species, right?
True.
Let's get the weakest one. You know, that's what the animals do. If you watch if you go on YouTube in the middle of the night, we have nothing to do, and watch some of these animal videos, and that's what they do, right? They pick out the weakest guy in the herd. They're smart.
You know, something I've noticed too here at my house, and I can't really make any claims about this, but I've just noticed this in my yard, that biting bugs of all kinds, mosquitoes, noceums, fleas, all that, have radically diminished since I put the home shield out.
There you go.
It's really obvious.
You could tell, huh? Yeah. What is it about then, the home shield? And why would the little biting guys not want to?
Well, I think they just don't like the frequency of it. It's like, you know, when you buy these little electromagnetic bug repellents, like mosquito repellents, which in my experience don't really work, but the idea is that they put out a pulsing field that the insects don't like, and so they stay away.
And you can look at the home shield, click on the front page of One Radio Network, and use promo code One Radio and get yourself a 10% deal. Well, I experienced those no-see-ums when I went down to Florida a couple months ago. Where was I? What island was I on? Somewhere. Where was I on? I don't know.
We're on the West Coast?
Yeah, I was on the West Coast. Boy, man, those little guys,
I have a friend
who
lives in the
neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't have any protection on the West Coast. But here in this area, I was surprised. I've got a neighbor who's a horticulturist, and she grows a lot of stuff. She's outdoors a lot. And she's told me she can tell when the home shield's not running because the mosquitoes and the biting bugs.
I should probably get one from my place here and maybe help Doodle and all of them.
Yeah, we'll hook you up.
Yeah, we're right in the middle of the whole in the country here, you know, and boy, we're just right, you know, we got foliage everywhere. I just look outside my windows, that's all I see is green, so we got little buggies running around. Okay, kiddo, well, we're out of here. 3 hours, you think that's enough? Shoo. I can't believe we did 3 hours. So we know we had some interruptions in our internet stream. I think it was around 10:40 it started to around 11 o'clock central. And it was just touch and go because of the weather. We had a huge storm to come through So the complete podcast will be there. We'll edit out some of the rough stuff, so make it easy for you to listen to, and we'll have that podcast up in a couple of hours here. Mr. Rolla, we'll see you, I guess, on the East Coast. Tell folks again where you're going to be next week if they want to come visit. Yes. And how they can find out the details on it.
Okay. They can go to freshandalive.com to the events page, and they can see the details. I'm going to be in Northvale, New Jersey this Saturday. I'm going to be in New York City this Saturday. Then I'm going to be in Northvale, New Jersey on Sunday. And then Monday, I will be in the Boston area in Waltham, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm.
I definitely think you should bring a lot of enzymes, digestive things, and then have a piece of pizza when you're in Northeast, because that would do you good, man. Just have
that's funny you say
nice
that.
Nice piece of pie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I usually when I'm in New York, I probably will actually, because
know,
when I'm in
not?
New York City,
yeah.
the one of the guys that travels with me who's not on this trip, he is from New York, and he always has to get a slice.
Oh, you got to get a slice.
And we are going to be eating at a really incredible organic restaurant that's got this huge smorgasbord of food.
Oh,
so
really?
That'll
be fun.
Looking forward to it.
But just for the trip's sake, you asked to have a piece of pie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. When you're in New York, certain things, you know, I do, when I'm in certain places, like I was in Barcelona, I had to have paella.
Oh, of course, of course. Yeah. It's good for you. You know, it's good for you. That's your body, keeps your body on its toes. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, this is interesting. Let me deal with this one. Well, I tell you what, I ate a lot of strange food on this trip because we were in the car and, you know, I didn't have as much food that I bought, but I did well with it. You know, I think, you know, I don't know, a little bit here and there. I don't know. I did well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you do? Do what you can. When in Rome, you do what you do. All right, kiddo. Thanks. We love you. And thanks for your work and all your efforts. And people can go on to YouTube, right? And check out some of your videos there, Ken Rolla. And then,
yeah, I got a couple of new ones, actually.
Oh, cool.
I just released a short little video on using the skater discs for ferments. And I've got a kombucha mushroom sitting in my kitchen that's been sitting there dormant for a year.
Oh, man.
And it's not molded or contaminated because it's on a skater disc. And and I did another one on, I think, EMF or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Kind of fun. All right, brother. Take care. Have fun in New York, in the Northeast. And we'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Take care, Patrick.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Well, Ken Rolla, he's the bomb. Third Monday of the month, he's here. And what a treasure to have his technology and, you know, his stuff and, you know, his life and his loves and stuff. All right, we're going to have a good time tomorrow. We're going to take the red pill for the first hour and talk about some cool things. And then also Daniel Smith and his adventures with Miracle Mineral Supplement and legal things and going to jail over it all and quite a story. He'll be here tomorrow. We're going to talk about the brain and consciousness on Thursday, Andrew Goss on Wednesday. I will see you tomorrow. I love you very much. Love you a lot. Thanks for your ongoing support. Let me know if I can help. I'm at your service here. May the blessings be.
Know the Source on One Radio Network.